Where is the word holy first found in the Bible? Get inside your head. Use that brain that God gave you and think about now. Where is holy? Is there a holy God in the Garden of Eden? Yeah, there's a holy God, but he's not called holy. What about when the flood comes? What about that? Was that a holy God that brought judgment on the world? Yes, but the word holy is not found. Is it in relationship to Abraham when he called Abraham and he could have said, did he say to Abraham, be holy as I am holy? Well, he could have said that, but there's no record of that. Where is the word holy first found in the Bible? You know where it is. It may surprise you. In our Sunday night studies of these, as we survey the Old Testament in Soldiers of Christ, we talk about you get to the end of the book of Genesis and you've covered 2,500 years of Bible history. You've covered all of that time, and the word holy is not found in the book of Genesis at all. That's remarkable. Where is it first found? If I start this sentence, you'll know where it is. God said, take off your shoes. You know the story? Take off your shoes because the ground on which you stand is holy ground. Holy ground? It's dirt. What's your definition of holy? You ever think about dirt being holy? Young people, if you'd been there and you had a friend who could chemically analyze, or maybe you've studied that in high school chemistry or something, and you pick up a handful of that dirt and you walk 100 yards away and you pick up another handful of dirt and you carry two samples of dirt to a lab and you say, would you compare these two? And guess what? They'd be exactly the same. You know, dirt is dirt. And yet, some dirt is holy. What on earth does the word holy mean? We use the word a lot. We talk about holy marriage, talk about the holy Bible, we talk about holy things. Holy dirt? It's a weird word. First time it's used in the Bible. Now, it is interesting that in this second book of the Bible, while it's not found in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, it's found 45 times in the book of Exodus. Skipping a few incidences of it, but let's talk about the book of Exodus. The Jews leave the promised land. You know, Moses leads them out. They're exiting. That's where the book gets its name. In the book of Exodus, they're exiting from the land of Egypt, and they're headed for the land of promise. And no sooner they get across the Red Sea than the Lord says, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, he says, you are a holy nation. Holy nations? They were hardly even a nation at all. You know, you got the nation of the Egyptians, you got the nation of the Canaanites and the Hittites and all of those nations that were there. And all of a sudden, here's a nation that's holy. What makes a nation holy? You know, isn't it true that one nation's just as good as another? Isn't that sort of in our worldview of everything, that one nation's just about as good as another? And all of a sudden, the God of heaven looks down and says, here is one nation, and that nation is holy. What's that mean? Holy, dirt, and holy nations. In Exodus chapter 20, when you get to Exodus chapter 20, you'll find out in verse 8 that there is a day that is holy. You know the Ten Commandments, and you know what that commandment says. Remember what day? The Sabbath day. The Sabbath has always been on Saturday. Sabbath's never been on Sunday. It's always been on Saturday. What's so special about Saturday? Isn't every day just about alike? You wake up, you eat breakfast, and then you do whatever you got planned for that day. And so Sunday's about like Monday, which is like Tuesday, which is like Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And all of a sudden, when you get to the end of the week, and you get to Friday and Saturday, and all of a sudden God says to those people, hello, this is really, really a holy day. What makes Saturday different from anybody else? Any other day? Holy dirt, holy nations, holy day. What makes it special? Go back to that nation concept and you stop and think about it. There were those, that was the nation of Israel, but you know, Israel was the other name for Jacob. Jacob had a brother named Esau. Esau had another name, Edom, and there were the Edomites. What's the difference in the Edomites and the Israelites? They're cousins. I don't know if you think you're as much like your cousins as you can begin to imagine, and you may be thankful that you're not like your cousins, but you need to understand cousins are cousins, and that's what they are, and yet the Lord says, you're a holy nation, here's your cousins over here, their nation, but you're holy. And then you look inside that nation, and it's divided up into tribes, you know, Reuben and Simeon, you know those tribes. And of those tribes, there's one of those tribes that is special. In fact, the word holy is applied to that tribe, especially to a part of that tribe, over and over and over again. That's why in the book of Exodus it's found so many times. There's the tribe of Levi. Now, Levi is a great tribe, I guess it is. Sort of like football team. What's your favorite football team? You and I know there's only one holy football team on this earth. I just wish you knew the truth about it. Anyway, you need to understand. Here's a tribe. Tribe of Judah. That's the best one. That's where Jesus comes from. That's where David is from. And yet the Lord looks down, even when they're just beginning a nation, he says, here are the Levites, and they're holy. And inside the tribe of Levi, there's one family. There's Aaron and his descendants. And God gives them some special garments to wear, and we'll talk about those in just a minute. But a part of the garment that they had was a banner, a turban that they wore on their head, some sort of head dressing that said, Holiness to the Lord. You and I need to understand that when in Exodus chapter 28, verse 38, there is a description of them. Here are people and in a holy nation and a holy tribe and a holy family and a holy high priest. And of all the people on this earth, he is the one that has the banner that says holiness to the Lord. Look, people are people. You know, it's evident that all men are created equal. Part of our Constitution. And yet, here's Aaron and his descendants, and they're holy. As you begin reading about these priests, they are the holy garments that they wear. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 2. You go down to the fabric store, and here's all of this cloth that's there. And you take this cloth, and it's just ordinary cloth, and you bring this ordinary cloth, and you bring it home, and you make your own clothes out of it, make the clothes of your family, and all of a sudden, there are clothes, the very garments that are made from ordinary cloth, and that is worn by the priest, and the Bible says, and those are holy garments. It's remarkable if you'll think about it. There was that matter of incense, and I'm going to use the word perfume because we'd understand it better. And there was the oil that was used for anointing individuals. And so in Exodus chapter 39, verse 27, you have holy perfume and holy oil. I'm sorry, perfume is perfume, and oil is oil, and dirt is dirt, and days are days, and clothes are clothes, and you keep going down the list. What does the word holy mean? What is it that takes some ordinary dirt and makes it very special. You ever heard the expression, holy cow? They offered, not the cow, they offered the bulls, but they are holy cows in the Bible. And they are holy goats in the Bible. In fact, as you read the book of Exodus all the way through, even they'd go out, they'd harvest the grain, and you'd pick up a bundle of wheat, a sheaf of wheat, and you'd wave it out before God, and the Lord said, and by the way, that's holy grain. What is it that makes dirt holy and not all dirt's holy? And what is it that takes ordinary common things and all of a sudden ordinary common things become special? Did you hear the text as it was read this morning? Leviticus chapter 10. There are two sons of Aaron. They are in line someday to be the one that wear the banner, at least one of them wears the banner that says, Holiness to the Lord. I'm of the family of Aaron. I'm of the tribe of Levi. I'm of the nation of Israel. I'm a holy nation, holy tribe, holy family. I'm wearing holy garments. I'm offering and waving holy grains of wheat before God. And there are holy cows and holy perfume. And there's all of these things. And then all of a sudden, you get to Leviticus chapter 10. And in what is one of the most amazing stories. Have you ever heard this story about Nadab and Abihu? God told them that whenever you get ready to worship me, you take a censer. It's a holy censer. And you take holy perfume. And you put fire in that censer, and then you take this holy incense and you put it on top and you carry this inside the holy tabernacle into the front room, which is the holy place, and the smoke of that incense goes over a veil of inside that temple and goes into the most holy place on earth. And the amazing thing happens. These two sons of Aaron forgot what makes something holy. Look at Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. You'll begin to read something about it. In verse 2, you'll read that says that they, or pardon me, it's verse 3, I must be regarded as holy. What's happened here? That fire? That fire was specified by God. The only place you could get that fire was in that altar that was out in front of that tabernacle. And God said, take fire from that altar and put that fire, those coals of fire, you put that in that censer, and then you find this holy incense, and you bring it in, and you bring it into the holy place that it might be in the presence of the most holy God in the most holy place on earth. You know what Nadab and Abihu did? They did not understand the word holy. Is it possible? Is it possible that you do not understand the word holy? Is it possible that you have not really fully understand? Is it possible that we've done the same thing? What's different about that fire? There was that fire that's outside, and when you've got burning woods, which is where this fire had come from, you could take that wood or some wood like it and make another fire and get coals that are just as good. And yet they walked in the presence of God with that fire that they had taken, not from the from the altar outside, but with strange fire. The NIV version says unauthorized fire. Some translation says profane fire. They had taken ordinary, listen, they had taken ordinary fire and made it holy. And when they walked in the presence of God and said to the holy God in the most holy, in the holy place that's connected to the most holy place on this earth, as they were headed in there, fire came down out from half from heaven and burned them up. Would you imagine that? Can you imagine people standing outside seeing these priests? Now, for the very first time, the incense have ever been altered there in that tabernacle. For the very first time that we have any record of, here they go and they're carrying this fire inside to worship God with. And lo and behold, fire comes out of heaven, burns them up. And God says to his parents, "Don't you weep for these boys." Because they have made no difference between that which is holy and that which is ordinary. The word profane is used oftentimes in contrast to the word holy. Sometimes the word unholy is used to describe it. And so down in about verse 10 of Leviticus chapter 10 says that my priests must learn the difference between that which is holy and that which is profane. See, dirt, all dirt, is just common dirt. But there is dirt that has been changed from being common and ordinary to being something that is holy. Fire's fire. All fire's the same. Except there's ordinary fire that becomes extraordinary, becomes totally different. What's happened to it? There's a nation. That's like any of the other nations. All these nations. But there is one nation that has something that is a part of it that no other nation has. Take off your shoes, Moses. You're standing on holy ground. I never tell this story without thinking about my oldest son, David. Sounds like something Gary would do, but my oldest son, David. David's a little bit older. David and Debbie are there, and I'm telling them a Bible story. And so as I'm telling them this Bible story, because it's really important, you know, they're 5, 6 years of age, 4 or 5 years of age. And so I try to be the voice of God. Moses! Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And David, being the intellectual scholar that he is, says, "Who made the holes?" That's not W-H-O-L-E or H-O-L-E. It's H-O-L-Y. One holes. Moses, this ground, until that bush started burning, was just ordinary ground. But I am in this bush speaking to you. The association of God made ordinary dirt, holy dirt, made an ordinary day, an extraordinary day, made an ordinary nation, an extraordinary nation, made an ordinary tribe, an extraordinary tribe, and made that fire that was there because it's associated with God. Extraordinary. We don't have time to look at the rest of the Bible. We said 45 times in the book of Exodus, 78 times in the book of Leviticus. The word holy is, you know, over and over again found in the book of Leviticus. You get to the book of Numbers, it's 33 times in the book of Numbers. Just all over the Old Testament, hundreds of times. Because you see, that which is associated with God is holy. You know what God did? God brought judgment against that nation. And God, the time came, and we're jumping down, you know, nearly 1,000 years from the time that Moses stood at the burning bush, in which that Babylonian army came. So Nebuchadnezzar, servant of God, not a believer in God, but a pagan that God used, and comes and destroys Jerusalem. He destroys the holy altar where there was that holy fire. It's worse than that. He destroys the holy place. And he destroys the most holy place on this earth. A pagan comes into the temple of God, the most holy place on earth, where you find the holy Ten Commandments in the holy Ark of the Covenant, and destroys, wipes them out almost from the memory of man. Why would God let that happen? It's found in the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel says that you made no difference. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. Between that which is holy and that which is profane. What's holiness? Common things associated with God. What about this table? What about the holiness of this communion? You know what's in it? Tasteless bread. It came out of the Passover feast. Passover feast had that roast lamb. It had the food that they ate in the land of Egypt. You talking about a meal, the Passover meal, was sort of like a Thanksgiving meal. I mean, it was really, really special because the whole nation observed it at one time. The Passover has come, and they had this fabulous meal, ordinary lamb, and all of the trimmings that go with it. And at that supper, he took tasteless bread. And the most common drink there is on this earth other than water, fruit of the vine. And says about this common ordinary table, you want to profane that which is holy? Then you eat this bread. Don't discern the Lord's body. You know where you are when you assemble around this table? Take off your shoes. In the mind of God and in the memory of God and your mind and in your memory, you stand at the foot of the cross on holy ground. And he that eats this bread, drinks this cup in an unworthy manner, not discerning the Lord's body, is eating and drinking damnation to himself. Fire out of heaven for Nate Alvin Abihu. And the reaction of God to those individuals who treated that which was holy like it was common and ordinary is the very principle that says, eat this common ordinary bread and you can have the judgment of God just as surely as Nate Alvin Abihu did. Jimmy Banks, you said it. You said it. He set up this supper. And it is exactly the same. The Lord's Supper is exactly the same today as it was for them. There's a holiness about this supper. But this supper is tied to a day. When you read about the Lord's Supper being observed, it's on the first day of the week. They came together. Oh, they broke bread from house to house, but they came together upon the first day of the week to break the bread. Why? Because it is holy communion and it's tied to a day. You see, the Lord did not say to Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, now you are forbidden to take fire from another place. That verse is not in the Bible. You know what's in the Bible? A verse that says, when you offer this sacrifice, here is the fire you can use. Here's the Lord's Supper. It's tied to a day. God doesn't say don't do it elsewhere, just like He didn't say do not use strange fire. The only fire that was authorized is that which was specified by God. You've got to understand that. They did it every week. It is profane to take that which is holy and tied to the first day of the week and say, well, we'll do it once a month, we'll do it once a year, or we'll do it every day, or we'll do it at weddings, we'll do it at funerals. He's not commanded that. And if we learn anything from the story of Nadab and Abihu, that whatever God commanded is holy. Holy perfume, even the mixtures given. Holy oil, the kind of oil to be used is given. Holy tribes, specific tribes. Holy families inside the tribes. When God authorizes it, it becomes holy because you're standing in the presence of God. You want to apply that to the rest of worship? What about prayer? What about using prayer so that I can be heard for much speaking? As though the longer the prayer, the greater the prayer is. That's what the people in the first century. They use vain repetition that they might appear to men to be worship, to be holy. Prayer is not to call attention to myself. What about the giving? When they give, they sound the trumpet so that other people see them giving. There's a holiness involved to every aspect of it. And the holiness of preaching is emphasized whenever God calls Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, here's the book, you preach the book. Old Testament, eat this book, preach this book, go tell the people what's in this book. And God says to Ezekiel, if you do not start your sentence with this expression, thus says the Lord, I will stick your tongue to the roof of your mouth. If God said that to preachers today, if you don't preach the Bible, if you don't take this holy book and preach it to a holy people as a holy book from a holy God, I'm going to stick your tongue to the roof of your mouth. That's the sobriety of preaching. And the sobriety of listening is people who long to be holy, people of God. Time's up. Talk about holy baptism. You want to talk about holy marriage? You want to talk about a holy book? And when I preached the sermon, Ron Brackett said, you need to make a series out of this. And almost without exception, every time I've ever preached this sermon, when I've been away preaching in other places in gospel meetings, people have said, I've never thought understanding it as clearly as you said it today. We are holy people who lives lives that are associated with a holy God. You be holy as I am holy, says the Lord. That's the application. And every aspect of our lives is either common and ordinary, or it is holy because God has made it special. Do you not think that the church is holy? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, written to the church, says, "You are a holy nation." But are you in the church? When God looks down, He sees the holy nation, not geographically, but judged by the hearts. That's my holy people. Has the Lord written your name in heaven and made you a part of the church of the Bible? You know how simple it is to be a part of that church? To believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not hard. The evidence is there. And then to repent. To make up your mind to quit walking in the unholiness of this world and transform the rest of your life to live a holy life. That's repentance. It's that decision. And when you've confessed the name of the Holy Jesus, He's called the Holy Babe Jesus when He was in the manger. Holy Child Jesus. When you confess that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, Holy God, you can be baptized into the very kingdom of God and have your name written in heaven. Have you done that? Or an unfaithful Christian who's wandered away, is it time for you to come home and come back to God? We want to help you to go to heaven. Is there sin in your life? If you need to respond and deal with sin in your life, won't you let us know how we can help by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?